thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We are focused in on what Christmas is all about, and that is Christ. And that is how Jesus came to this world and literally changed it. I know he changed my life, and I know many lives were changed because of Jesus coming and that reality of why he came. But the part that I want to just share with you comes out of the Gospel of Luke, and it's found in chapter 2 again. We will read this chapter tomorrow morning. It's a tradition in our home before we open any gifts with the grandchildren or children that we will read the Christmas story, and this will be part of it tomorrow. But this part I want to pick up, and it's really to those that receive the first news, if you will, of the birth of Christ. And it's not someone you would think that it would necessarily come to. It was the shepherds that were out in the field of Bethlehem. I've been to Israel many times, and I've been to the Bethlehem area, and I've been to what is called the shepherd's fields. Now, the one thing that doesn't change is the dirt and the rocks of the shepherd's field. It's there all the time. A lot of other buildings have been built over other sites, holy sites. But the shepherd's fields are the shepherd's fields. So I love going there. And as you look out over those fields, you will find shepherds. To this day, there are shepherds in those shepherd's fields. And they'll come out and greet us every time that we gather there, of course, with their sheep. And they sleep there. There are caves where their fires are built, and there are right there outside of Bethlehem. And you look over to the city of Bethlehem where Christ was born, and you try to imagine, to the best of your ability, what it must have been like that night when the heavens opened up and literally the angels appeared to the shepherds. I read out of Luke chapter 2. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You would be too. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Some translations say good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The shepherds, it was a profession that, it wasn't the best of all profession, but it was a profession. And the shepherds had the responsibility, of course, to keep the sheep. And where they kept the sheep were outside of the cities. It was considered somewhat of an unclean job, and it was. It was a smelly occupation, you could say, taking care of those sheep. And because of their occupation, they were not allowed to be in the temple area. They're not allowed to be in Jerusalem because there were certain laws. There were certain laws of cleanliness that had to be adhered to even come and worship or give sacrifice at the temple. And the shepherds could not because of what they did. They had to, and they had to be around blood. They had to be around death of the animals and the uncleanness of the whole situation. So they were kept out. You could say they were not only in a profession that was considered on the outside, but they lived on the outside of their culture, society. I say all of that to make a point that I think God was trying to make. And the point was even brought out in the message that the angel said to him, that this message, this good news, say good news. See, it's good news. What the angel came to give was good news, good tidings, not bad news. Not news to come and condemn the world, to put the world in guilt and shame, hold them under condemnation for what they've done to a holy God, but good news, and the good news of deliverance and freedom. And the angel said it was to all men. It wasn't just to the rich. It wasn't just to those who had a position in society or the religious folk. It was to all. And to emphasize to all, that's why I believe the shepherds were the first ones to get the announcement. Of all people, for an angel to show up to. Of all people, for the heavens to open up. There's not very many people that had that kind of audience. But the shepherds did. The rest of the world was just totally ignorant of this taking place. And yet, here were these shepherds out in the field hearing the greatest news ever being introduced to mankind, the first ones to get it. And that says so much to me. Because, you see, I see myself not necessarily as being one that was on the outside, but I don't see myself as someone that was important or someone that God should really care about. Who was I doing what I was doing apart from God, far away from really any desire to do His will or serve Him, and just going about living my life in a very selfish way, self-centered way, doing my own thing, doing whatever I felt like doing, whatever the moment called for, I just did. And it was all for me. It was all to satisfy me. And there I was, just God could have just left me alone. He could have let me go my way, and I couldn't have had what I have here today. I couldn't have the family that I have. I couldn't have the children that I have, the grandchildren that I have, wonderful congregation to minister to, the friendships that I have, the vision that God's put in my heart, the joy that He's brought to me over the life. He could have let me go. But you see, that's not God's will or desire for any man, to let us just go down the path or road of destruction and with no ambitions, no hopes, no dreams, and at the end of it just find that there's really nothing more. But God's message to the world and to us even today is that He loves us too much to allow us to do our own thing. That's the way I look at it. He loves me too much. A parent who loves a child, truly loves a child, is not going to just let that child do things that's going to damage them or hurt them. And God wasn't about to let us do our own thing. He was about to do something about it, and He did. He took the initiative. We never take the initiative toward God. Some people say, well, I came to God. There one day I woke up and I approached God. Listen, God knows where we're at all the time. He's the one that approached me. And how did He approach me? He approached me, first of all, by doing what He said He would do, even while I was still in sin. So without me any turning to Him at all, He turned to me. And He reached down through Jesus Christ. He said, I'll take the initiative. I'll make it possible for you to come back and be in the Father's graces and live eternally with Him. And that's what the message is all about. I refer to one more text, and that's found in the Gospel of John. There's one verse in the Gospel of John that's probably familiar to most of us in here. We quote it. If I were to say John 3:16, you know, that's the banner that's put up at all the sporting events, John 3:16, and hey, by the way, if you don't think that does something, there is a family that's one of the leaders in our church that because they saw that sign at a golf tournament, came to know Christ. So it was real effective in their life. But that John 3:16, but we don't read 17. Let me read it. John 6, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son, His only begotten Son. He gave Him. It says that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says this, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, the enemy has done a fairly good job at painting a wrong picture of who God is. God is some tyrant in the sky, afar off, that cannot be touched, and he has removed himself, and we have to work our way back to him. And if you think about it, most cultures and societies serve gods where you have to work your way for acceptance. And this message was brought into a society that believed that way. Their gods, their pagan gods, were gods that you had to sacrifice to. You had to give allegiance to. You had to work your way into their grace or goodness. And that's not what God, our God, is all about. Our God's about love. He did not come to condemn us or put another guilt trip on us. Listen, we live in enough guilt and shame as it is. The message of Christmas is that a Savior has come to save us from our guilt, to save us from our shame, to save us from condemnation that the enemy tries to put in us, and to give us everlasting life. So my prayer, our prayer, for all of us this Christmas season, as simple as that message might sound, don't miss it. Don't get caught up in all the trappings that are around Christmas time. Even this service can be a trapping. Even a Christmas Eve service can be a time where it's something to do, and as a result of it, we come, and it's just another duty or responsibility. Listen, God loves us too much. He has too much in mind for you. He has a greater plan for you, greater desires for you, not only here, but forever and ever and ever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't come to condemn us, didn't come to put us down. He came to save us. And that's exactly what he wants to do this Christmas for many, many people. We're going to enter into communion. I'm going to ask Pastor Jeff to come. He'll introduce communion to us. But I want to pray right now. If you just bow your heads and our hearts together as he comes, that we prepare our heart for communion. Father, let us, as a result of being together tonight, understand, Lord God, your whole purpose for coming, and that is to be a Savior, to save us from our condemnation, save us from our guilt, save us from our shame. And Father, so I pray that we'll open up our hearts. If we believe something other than that about you, Lord, we want to dismiss that right now, because you're a God of love, you're a God of forgiveness. And Lord, I pray if there be anyone in here tonight that, Lord, has never taken that step of just opening up their heart and receiving the gift. Because, Lord, you gave a gift. Freely you gave. Lord, we don't have to pay anything. You already paid a price, and we want to accept that gift. So I pray if there be anyone in here that through this time and through our communion, through what Pastor Jeff shares, will open up our heart to receive that free gift. In Jesus' name.
We're going to go ahead and invite those that are helping us serve communion, men and women. Go ahead and make your way to your stations. I just had this feeling tonight that as Pastor George was sharing, that maybe there's some in this room that you felt something speaking to you, as if what he was saying was directly aimed at your heart, that there's a hope that you don't have, that there's a future that you've been doubting. And I would say to you tonight that the Spirit of God was speaking through Pastor George directly to your heart. And as Pastor George shared, that the angels said to the shepherds, "Behold the great news." What is that great news? And I want to share, in a room this big, there's plenty of people who come out because this is part of our life, that the church is, and we want to celebrate what God has done. And this is a great refreshing of reminder of the work of Jesus. But in a room this big, I would also say that there's some of us that came here out of obligation. Maybe there's a person who, "Mom just wanted me to come, so I came." Or maybe some of us, we know if we're going to eat the meal later, we had to show up with the family to church. And maybe there's a family in here or a few of them that said, "You know, we hadn't been to church in a while. Let's try that again on Christmas Eve." And I want to tell you what the good news is. If we fast forward in the life of Jesus from his birth, Luke picks up the story of Jesus where he's an adult about to start his ministry. And he stands up before some others around him, and he says something. And I don't want it to miss us tonight. As we share in communion, we want to recognize what God himself came to do when he sent Jesus. This is what he sent to do. Jesus said this of himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." Poor isn't just financially desperate. poor comes in all shapes and sizes. Jesus continued and said, He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and to recover the sight for the blind. And I imagine in a room this size that there's not only the financial poor, but the poor in spirit who've lost hope over the holidays and said, God, and maybe not even said God, but just feel like there isn't a future. There isn't a hope, that despair and desperation have overcome. Well, I would say what Pastor George was saying to you, what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to you, is there's hope in Jesus. Jesus said he was come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And again, in a room this size, we take freedom here in this country, in this world, as one of the highest values, but unlimited, unadulterated freedom leads us to a place of bondage. And many of you know that place of bondage. We've all been there. And if there's something that has you entangled from what your real purpose in life is, Jesus says he comes to bring freedom. He goes on to say, to bring recovery for the sight to the blind. And we know he can do miracles and bring literal sight to the literal blind. But there's so many of us who have allowed our lives to be clouded in darkness and we've become spiritually blind. And Jesus would say, I want to break that from you, and I want you to see me for who I really am this Christmas. Pastor George challenged us to embrace the reality of Jesus coming to earth to bring freedom and good news. So what we want to do is we share communion. Maybe some of you don't feel like you're worthy of communion. Maybe some in your tradition of church have thought, well, I've got to have a certain education to take communion. And maybe some say, I don't even know what that is. That's that traditional thing that churches have done. I would say throw all those things aside. When Christ came as a baby, he came to bring us freedom. And I had a friend, a brother-in-law, he's one of our missionary partners. He said to me, of all the children born with an expectation of life, Jesus was born with the expectation of death for our sins. His death and resurrection is to bring us to a place of restoration. So as we share in communion, we're going to ask you to hold the elements. We're going to sing a song about the power of the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to just, if you've never done it before, say, God, what they were talking about, I want some of that. I want light in my darkness. I want hope in my despair. I want to see you in a way I've never seen you. So Father God, as we share in this communion, we ask you to speak to our hearts, even those of us who have not ever heard your voice. Would you speak clearly? Bring light into the areas of despair and freedom into the place of bondage. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll pass the elements and we'll take it together in a few moments.
Say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Washed away all my sin and all.
still repeat. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
In the Gospel of Luke, and remember now, Luke is the one who opened up and said that he wanted to write down an accurate account of the life of Jesus and the events that took place during his life. He even went to the extremes of putting the manuscript together by using eyewitnesses, which Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them. So he records not only the birth and the story that we just read, but it goes all the way toward the end. And he says this at the end about Jesus' last days. And this is found in Luke chapter 22. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles. And he said to them with fervent desire, I have a desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So when we take the bread, we take the cup that represents the body and the blood of Christ, we do it in remembrance that, as Jeff said, I haven't heard it put that way, as Jason put it, that most people are born with an expectation to live. Jesus came to die. He knew he had a mission. Who was he dying for? You and me, for our sins. The penalty of our sin was death, but Jesus said, I'll die for you. I'll take your place. I don't know how we could refuse such a gift as that. There's no greater gift that will be given this weekend than the gift that has already been given to mankind. So we do this in remembrance, and we thank God. Father, we thank you that you took our place on the cross of Calvary, and Lord, for our sin that drove you there. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us, cleanse us as we take this cup. Let it be a remembrance to it. Let us live, Lord, with the, Lord, just the revelation in our heart that you have set us free to serve you and follow you, and then, Lord, to be with you throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, we take together.
would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay. And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angel sang. And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laugh and sang would die for them someday. And who would have thought this little child would make the blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinner free. Many years have come and gone, yet this world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen, only time has made a change. Nation against nation, brother against brother, and been so filled with hatred that they're killing one another. And over half the world is starving, while our banner of decency is torn, debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right to justify their sin, well, every nation that has fallen has fallen little child was who the prophet said will return to judge this world, the living and the dead.
The only hope is Jesus Christ for our world today. Would you stand with me, please? You should have received a candle as you came in. Would you take that candle? It's also become somewhat of a tradition that we do this on our Christmas Eve, and that is that we will take the candles and we'll light the candle. And it should remind us that Jesus really is that only hope. He's the only light that can shine in the darkness. It's a shame that even during his day, the Bible says that that light came and that the darkness refused him. I pray that we don't refuse him. I pray that we as a people, we as a country, will keep turning our hearts to him as our only hope that we have. This candle representing that light. So would you take time, as I see some have already started, but I'm going to light a candle. We'll pass this candle out as we sing this last song together.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.